Good evening. You know, I just want to say it's nice to see Isaac up here. We have so many talented people, and it makes me sick to see people like Isaac and Drake who sing and play basketball and baseball and play multiple instruments. Really is depressing. But tonight I want to talk about unity. That's true. That's a true statement. We're going to talk about faith, unity, and prayer, and how we can use all these things together to grow as Christians, and not just grow individually as Christians, but to grow united as a church. I spoke not too long ago up at men's camp, and I talked about how to strengthen your faith, and I talked about the how difficult it is many times to strengthen our faith because we're afraid to use our faith. And not just our faith in the Lord, but our faith in each other as fellow Christians. And we talk about how do I get stronger if I want my muscles to get bigger and I want to lift more, I got to use my muscles and train them to get stronger. If I want to get better at a free throw shot, I need to shoot more free throws. If I want to hit a baseball better, I need to take more swings in the cage. Everything we talk about getting better at, we talk about repetition of that action to get better. But when it comes to our faith, we hesitate to put that in each other. We hesitate to put our faith in God. We have no problem to go to Him to ask Him for things and say, Lord, help me through this and help me through that. But we always like to, well, I want to make sure I'm covered just in case the Lord doesn't come through for me. We don't want to ask each other. There's many times that we have the opportunity to strengthen our faith by putting our faith in each other, asking each other for help, asking each other to lift us up, and we miss the boat on that opportunity. Because, well, the Lord will take care of it. Dave told the joke long, long time ago, and it stuck with me ever since, about the lady that was in her house during a flood. And it was starting to flood, and the waters had come up to her doorway. People came by and said, ma'am, you come with us. We'll take you to safety. And she said, no, the Lord will save me. The Lord will provide. And the water started raising up. It's all the way up into their second story. And now she's in the second story window. People come by in a boat. Lady, jump in the boat with us. She's like, no, the Lord will save me. Finally, the waters raise up. And she's standing on the rooftop. And a helicopter comes by. She's like, lady, grab the rope. She's like, no, the Lord will save me. The lady drowns. She gets to heaven. She's like, Lord, I thought you'd save me. He's like, I sent you a guy in a car. I sent you a guy in a boat. And I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want? But too many times, we don't want to put trust and faith in each other. Too many times, we worry that we're going to let each other down. And that's sad. And I do it too. How many times we have a project, it's just easier if I just do it myself. It can get done a whole lot faster if I just take care of it myself. Asking people to get involved doesn't work out with my schedule. That's difficult for us to comprehend sometimes that, you know what, it's actually better for us to wait and work with others. And I know, and I've used this example, and I've been going through some of this with on Wednesday night class with the high school kids. We have work days all the time here. I can promise you, if everybody showed up here and just got right to work, just grabbed their list, and we just had a list, and you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, we get so much stuff done so much faster. But you know what the greatest thing about a work night is? Yeah, we get work done, but it's the fellowship that we have in doing it. It's learning talents from each other. It's learning how to work together as a body. And a lot of times we miss the boat on that opportunity. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another and what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you will be perfectly united in mind and thought. We're supposed to be the body of Christ. Christ is our head. You're not going to have a head stay alive without the body, and you're not going to have the body stay alive without the head. So together we are united with Christ. We learn a lot of things that we need to agree amongst ourselves. But that agreeance needs to come under the authority of the head. The arm doesn't move without the brain telling it to. Even though it can be a subconscious thought, it still sends the electric impulses through the whole body and however all that works and tells the arm to move. We breathe because the brain tells us to breathe. We need to be united as a body of Christ in agreeance with his thoughts so that we don't argue amongst each other. If we are united in mind and thought, then it has to be through our teachings, through our efforts, through the things that we do together, through the things that we do outside of one another. Your body doesn't intentionally do something that's going to intend and injure another part of your body. But many times, and I'm guilty of this, I got no problem. I'm not going to do like Dave and make people raise their hand, which, by the way, this morning, I think that was a trick question when we raised his hand about, you know, being worthy. Well, we're only worthy with Christ, but individually not. So I think that was a trick question. I said that to Drake earlier, but too many times we find joy in other people's failures. And I know we've talked about in high school class, and Gabby actually pointed out, and I agreed with her, and Jocelyn and Gabby were talking, and I agree 100%. We need to have a sense of humor. Not everything is meant to be mean. Sometimes we just need to laugh, and that's great. But at the same time, too many times we also laugh when people fall flat on their face. And that's disturbing. When we're supposed to be united in the activities that we do. Because if we're not united in what we do, then we will fall flat on our face, and that's beneficial to nobody, and it's only tearing down Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do this to get a crown, but that crown will not last forever. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body to make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Paul talks about the training that he goes into daily so he can endure life's tests that are put in front of him. And that teaching goes to us so that when we can go through life's race, we can be uplifting to the King so that he can give us the crown. But in a race that we see on human nature, as Paul talks about in the Olympics or whatever you want to talk about, tonight in the Super Bowl, only one team's going to win. Only one person wins the race. And I try to teach my kids, it's you know, it's one of those great dad moments. These are like, "Dad, I came in second." I'm like, "All right, first loser, good job." But first is what we're trying for. If we're not trying for first, then what's the purpose of trying? Here's the key, though, and the difference between what the world has and races versus what we have in the kingdom, and that is, I can get the prize, Xander can get the prize, JB can get the prize, Gary can get the prize, Josh can get the prize, we can all get the prize. Believe it or not, this is one area I'm going to be happy with, a participation trophy. Because that's what Christ tells us to do, participate. He doesn't tell us to sit on the sidelines. He doesn't tell us to watch things go by. He doesn't tell us, "You show up on Sunday, you take care of yourself, don't worry about the rest of the world. Just take care of yourself." No, we're told to go preach. Go and preach. Go out through all the world. Share the gospel. Share the news so that all may get that prize. But even here in the church, too many times we enjoy seeing failure. We enjoy when they didn't do as good as I did. And that's difficult. They don't do that as well as I do. Don't ask them to help with that project. They don't know what they're doing. Well, here's an idea. Maybe ask them to help with the project so they can learn. So then next time, you don't have to do it. That's a tough one. I have no problem admitting that I fail at that all the time. And even though Paul tells us we'll all get the prize if we endure the race, that doesn't mean that we have to do it alone. That's the beauty of the church. In Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer. I love Paul's epistles where he starts off every letter thanking them. He's in bondage and he's like, thank you for your prayers. He starts off every letter that way. I'm in captivity, but thank you for praying for me. I may die, but thank you for the help you've given. He's thankful for those around him. He's thankful for those that are sharing the message even when he can't. But look at it on an individual basis in our own lives. Are we thankful for the people that are sitting next to us to help us through tonight, to help us through tomorrow, to help us do small tasks? Are we thankful for the person that opened the door for us? Are we thankful for the person that scraped off our windshield this winter with the snow? Do we tell them that? And more importantly, when we pray, are we thankful to the Lord for providing that to us? Like I said, we have no problem to ask for prayers when we need something, but do we also go to the Lord in prayer to be thankful with praises to him? First John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. How many times do we go to the Lord selfishly? How many times do we go and ask for something simply because we know it will benefit us greater than somebody else? Or that it's because it's what I want? Luke 22:42, Jesus is praying. He says, Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is talking about his crucifixion that he knows is coming. Lord, he says, Father, I come to you asking you to remove this cup from me. Jesus was willing to die for each and every one of us at that point in time and forever forward. But he says, if there's another way and you can remove this from me, great. But if not, just give me the strength to get through it. So the Lord will hear our prayers if we go to him, if we go to him with his will in mind first. But Jesus also knew and showed us many times, and using an example, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, but he would withdraw himself to desolate places to pray. I'm one that I will pray while I'm driving in the car. Because also at the time in the car is also when I'm alone with my own thoughts, and that gets scary. So there's times that I'll pray for peace, for comfort, for understanding, for guidance. But there's also times that we'll pray up here on stage. We'll pray before a basketball game. We'll pray before baseball games. We'll pray before whatever event you want to talk about. And we have all these people around. But do we take the time to go to that desolate place so it's just us and God? There's not distractions around us. We can clear our thoughts out of our mind and just talk. Talk to the Father. Ask him for his will to take control in our lives. Ask him to help us be a better Christian so that we can help unite the body in a stronger way. If we want our prayer life to be stronger, we need to use our prayer life. If we want our faith to be stronger, then we need to use our faith. And not just our faith in the Lord, but in faith in his body. Do we pray for each other for that strength? For that unity. If we want to be united, then I have to trust in the other parts of my body that they will be able to handle things that are thrown at it. And I'm not talking about my physical body. I don't trust anything on my body anymore. And it talks about where Jesus says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Again, he went off by himself. He got up early. He made a point to go and pray. Do we make a point to go and pray, or do we have times that we pray? And there's a difference in that. We make habit of praying before service. We make habit of praying before the Lord's Supper. We make habit of praying before we eat. We make habit of praying before different events in the day. But do we make a point to set aside just individually, I just need to pray. I just need to pray. We may say prayers before we go to bed. We may say prayers with our kids before we go to bed. We may do that, and that's great. But we make those into habitual, I pray before this, I pray before that, I pray before this. But do we go pray just to pray? Because I know every one of us at some point in time, probably me more than anybody else, picks up the phone and calls somebody just to talk, text somebody just to say, hey. You look at, like, my texts, I'm always texting somebody to say, hey. Like, a little while ago, I text Doug, like, hey, how was the drive down? Did you guys get down there safe? Have you got there yet? What are you guys doing for dinner? Yeah, did you guys make good time? I got back, yep. That's just the way our conversations go. But sometimes we just reach out to see what's going on with people. Do we make a point to go pray just to pray? I'm afraid that we don't. I know I don't nearly enough. I pray when it's convenient, or I pray at the times that I've made habitually effective in my life to pray. I don't necessarily make that time to say, you know what, I'm leaving all distractions. I'm going to go out here and just pray for a little while. I'm just going to quit what I'm doing. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to stay up late, whatever it may be. And just go pray. Galatians 3:26 through 28 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Do we treat it that way? Do we treat each other that way? Do we talk to the Lord that way? It's important for us to understand, because I'm going to be looking at my favorite Bible character, and people probably get tired of me talking about Peter. But I think there's a great example that we can learn there with Peter. When Jesus first met Peter in the high school class, sorry, this is a repeat. I told you guys we're getting a sneak preview the other day. When Jesus first met Peter, through his brother Andrew, Jesus said to him, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. John chapter 1, verse 42. Cephas was the Aramaic term for rock, John explained, and the Greek form of the word is Peter. And Jesus giving him the name Peter, that shows, he shows us what his intentions were, that of Jesus, and what Jesus was planning to use Peter for, and his influence on the church that was to be set up and the kingdom under Christ. In Matthew 16, Peter made the good confession that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded to Peter saying, blessed are you, Simon. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. He's not talking about upon Peter. Unfortunately, our Catholic friends have that all confused. But he's talking about that good confession. He gave him the name Cephas, or Peter, because it meant rock. And he knew from the time he met him that Peter was going to bring that confession. He had that faith and that trust in Peter. He took Peter with him to go pray. At the Transfiguration, he fell asleep, but he took Peter with him. They woke up and saw it, and Peter was amazed. He had faith and trust in Peter. And we know that from the beginning when he gave him the name. And it told us what his intentions were, and not that he was building the church on Peter himself, but Peter was building the church upon the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then later, Peter unlocked the door to that kingdom by preaching the first gospel message in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. We see many times Peter's failures. JB and I were even talking yesterday, and I even made the joke to him. We were talking about different people that do certain things and then they fail. And I looked at him and said, but they got out of the boat. Do we get out of the boat? It's easy to say, look at them, they sank. Look at Peter, what a fool. He sank, he thought he was awesome. Well, he could have been like the other disciples hiding and cowering, but Peter got out of the boat. Yeah, then he realized, I still need Jesus. Through Jesus, Peter had the power to walk on water, but it was through his faith in Jesus that he could do this. The other disciples had no faith. Peter may boast many different times about his faith and his trust and his love that he had for Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 38, he says, Lord, I am ready to go with you both in prison and to death. But as we know, Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. And not only did Peter deny him, but the last time Jesus laid eyes upon Peter before his death, Peter was leaving the scene, and it literally says he was weeping in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. Says Peter was weeping because he knew he let Jesus down. This is the last thing that Peter did that Jesus physically saw him do before his death. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that even through his failures, he had faith that he would carry out the responsibility to preach that first gospel message. And that day, the church was founded. Do we have enough faith in each other, even through failure, to be there and to lift each other up, to help each other out? That takes a lot of prayer. And it's not through faith in each other, but it's our common faith in Jesus Christ that we should have to build that faith upon. And I use the example of the book of Philemon with Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Philemon, as we know, had all the right to kill Onesimus. He was a runaway slave. He could kill him. No questions even asked. Just psh. But he left, ran away, met Paul, became a Christian. Paul converted him. He says, but you got to go back to Philemon and make things right. And here's this letter. I'm not going to go with you. But just take this letter and things will be okay. It wasn't Paul's faith in Philemon. It wasn't Onesimus' faith in Paul. And it wasn't Philemon's faith in Onesimus. It was their mutual faith in Christ combined that led them to do the right thing together. And that's where we were talking about earlier that we need to have agreeance amongst the body. We need to be living in unity. And through unity in Christ, we can do all things. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. I put humble in bold because that's one I forget. I think many of us do at times. But love one another and be compassionate. Compassion's an easy one to forget. Do we show compassion? Compassion doesn't mean that someone doesn't go without punishment. Sometimes compassion means they get punished. But it's love and compassion. Are we sympathetic? Look at those individually, and can you say, I do all of it. I am like-minded in the body of Christ. I am sympathetic to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I love them as Christ loved me. I am compassionate. When they fall short, I am there, and I am compassionate, and I am humble enough to ask for help when needed, the same way Jesus gave us as the example? Those are tough questions to ask ourselves when you break it down individually. Do I do these things the way I was intended to do? This is how we're united. This is how we can, as a body of Christ, can do all things. This is what unity in Christ means. Colossians 3:12 through 14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Sometimes those are difficult things to do. When I talk about, do we set time individually, just set time up for prayer. Not in those times, like I said, that we do before dinner, before bed, or different events, but do we just take time just to pray, just to have conversations with the Lord? Do we also set time to think about the kindness, the compassion, the gentleness, and the patience that we have with one another? Do we bear with each other and forgive one another of our grievances the way the Lord forgave us? Do we take time to think about that and examine ourselves and say, it's okay, we're one body. We can move forward. Do we help each other out? Do we look to help each other out when one part struggles? Do we look to help pick them up? James 5:13 says, is someone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Then let them sing songs of praise. We need to encourage each other to pray. Have you reached out to somebody instead of just saying, hey, and then asking them how their day's going? When you get the response back and they tell you, today was an awesome day because of whatever, do you text them back like, hey, I'm going to pray for you because you had a great day and we're going to praise the Lord together? No, we never do that. If somebody tells us I had a horrible day because of whatever happened, we have no problem. I'll pray for you and hopefully things will get better and we'll pray for things to get better. We don't hesitate to do that. But when someone calls us and tells us or texts us and tells us good news, do we text them back and say, I'm going to pray for you because that is awesome? Many times, what we like to do, and we do this, I don't know if we want to say subconsciously or unconsciously or whatever you want to say it, but too many times somebody tells us, hey, this happened and it was great. And then you turn around and say, yeah, I did this and it was great. Do we let people have their moment? Do we tell them it's awesome? Do we pray for them and pray for that opportunity that they had, whatever the praise may be? We're told if somebody's happy, they should be singing songs of praise. Do we praise the Lord for the opportunities that he's given to us to be happy? We don't hesitate to pray for each other during bad times or tough times or struggles and injuries and health. But do we struggle? Do we pray for each other through victories, through opportunities that have created happiness? And in Matthew 5:44, which we all know, says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Another one that's way easier said than done, but I'm afraid we missed the boat on it. And the worst, and I have no problem standing here and saying I'm guilty of this as well, but the worst is when you feel or we feel individually wronged by somebody else, or we feel that somebody's out to get us, inside our own body of Christ here, we feel that we've created an enemy amongst them, and then we turn our back on them, and we walk away, and we don't communicate at all. It's not what the Lord tells us to do. He tells us to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who persecute us. If we can't pray for each other when we aren't getting along, how are we expected to pray for those outside of the body of Christ who are attacking us daily? If we can't pray for health amongst our body, and I'm not talking about just physical health, I'm talking about mental health, the spiritual health, social health, everything that works together. If we can't pray for that health amongst ourselves, how do we pray for those who persecute us outside of that body? Talks about forgiveness. We need to forgive each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to seek happiness and pray and give praise for that happiness. And in Matthew 6:7, it says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." I like to think about this one a lot of times at work. And one of the, in any business, in sales business, you have the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid. And that philosophy too many times gets lost on us. And I don't know how many people I've trained over almost 20 years with Avis Budget, but they'll ask people, we have a phrase, we just point blank say, hey, don't ask for something on the bottom if we're trying to sell product. Ask for the top and then work way down. So when somebody comes in, it's, do you want to take the complete protection package? And they say, yes. I don't know how many times, and unfortunately, Trevor's not here for me to pick on him. I don't know how many times I have an employee be like, okay, do you understand how much that costs? I'm like, dude, shut up. They said yes. Take it. Don't talk them out of it. James. Sometimes, that's for the text you sent me earlier about not, you know, hey, don't make a mistake. Well, I just, you know. Sometimes we need to go to the Lord in the same way. Let's keep it simple. The Lord knows. We don't need to put a bunch of fluff all around what we're trying to tell the Lord. He already knows. We just need to come out and say it. And sometimes it's better when we do that amongst ourselves. Now, understand, we're also told to have compassion. So take that in consideration before you just walk up somebody and they're like, how do you like my hair? I'm like, it looks stupid. Like, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about here. Was that, Andrew's like shaking his head back there. Was that asked to you earlier this week? Like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. But sometimes we do. We just need to keep it simple. We don't need to put a bunch of fluff on things to sell. We're not going to sell the Lord. We're not here to sell something to Jesus. Jesus already gave us everything we need. It's our opportunity to take it. We don't need to fill our lives and fill our words and fill our mouths with a bunch of fluff so that the Lord, oh, look how impressive I am. Because I looked in the thesaurus before I prayed tonight. I used words I don't even understand, but they sounded good. But we also need to do that with each other. Keep it simple. Nothing drives my wife more nuts than when I need somebody to help me do something. The first thing, I don't ever ask anybody to help me to start off with. First thing I always do is like, hey, you got plans on this day? And then I wait for them to tell me what, so that way they don't have an opportunity to come up with something else to do. And if they say, oh, I've got this going on, I'm like, well, that's good because the next day I need your help. See, we don't need to go to each other with a bunch of fluff sometimes. Sometimes we just need to be like, hey, can you help me with this project? Hey, I need gas. Can you help fill up my car? Hey, whatever the project may be. But even more so with our prayer. We don't need to fill it with all kinds of craziness. Sometimes we just need to go to the Lord and say, I need your help, or Lord, thank you. I got my papers out of order earlier, so I was all screwed up coming up here to begin with, so I apologize on that. But Psalms 133:1 says, it simply says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And I think when we talk about living in unity, it's in our prayer life, it's in our faith, and it's all common, not with each other, but what each of us have with Christ. If we want to strengthen our faith, we need to put our faith in each other. And that faith needs to be common through Christ. If we want to strengthen our prayer life, we need to pray more. But we need to pray the way Christ taught us to pray. And we need to go to him more often. Do we allow failure to take place in our lives so ultimately we can prevail? And not just individually, but collectively. I know we talk a lot of times when you're raising kids and they want to go touch that stove that's hot. You can tell them no so many times, but eventually you just sit back and watch them be like, yeah, that hurt, didn't it? We see it coming. But the failure taught them the mistake, our children. And we're just like children to God. No matter how old we think we are, especially the male gender in this room, we still do a lot of stupid things. Even when we're told not to. And believe it or not, our wives still forgive us. It may take a while, but they still forgive us. Do we allow each other, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to ultimately prevail even through failure with each other, knowing that that failure may have only strengthened our body? Because we were putting our faith and our trust and our prayers into each other. If we want to have a united body under one head, which is Jesus Christ, I'm just going to simply say this in closing. We need to work together. We need to strengthen together. We need to pray for each other. And we need to have faith in each other as a body. We need to trust our arms, trust our eyes, trust our legs, and follow the head. Thank you.